Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
Okay, well, by now we should be fully awake, right? All these smelling salts, we're awake. We're looking at reality. We see it. Trivia's gone. We're not in the super anymore. Now what? Now what do we do? Now? Trust God. Right back to God's sovereignty. Verse 13. Consider the work of God. Consider. See, there's what we need to do. Consider the work of God, for who can straighten out what He has made crooked? We're back to the beginning. You can't fight providence. Not even with wisdom. Wisdom is powerful, but it's got its limits. No amount of wisdom is ever going to unlock the secrets of the universe. No amount of wisdom is going to let you fight against providence. No amount of wisdom is ever going to enable us to shape life according to our desires or control our existence or make our future predictable. If God made something crooked, not even all the combined wisdom of every human being on the planet is ever going to straighten that out. If you fight against God's plan, you lose. You lose. If you resist it, it's going to be... But if you submit to it, you're going to have joy. So just submit to it. What do you do with all the hard, unexpected hiccups and hardships and twists and turns in your life? Why do strange, unexpected, weird, twisted, crazy things happen in your life all the time? Why does that happen? Because God made life crooked. He made it crooked. When mankind rebelled against God in Genesis 3, and God cursed this world and He made life crooked. And only a fool thinks he can straighten out something God made crooked. It's silly. Just turn. Imagine yourself driving out of the mountains. You're driving down some canyon and you're going through all the curves coming down the canyon out of the mountains. And only a fool would pull his car over on the side of the road and start yelling, "This should be straight! Straight! Oh, why can't it be like Kansas where things are straight?" And then get back in his car and try and drive in a straight line. Now, only a fool would do that. Life is not going to straighten out just because you complain about the curves. Your life is crooked. You're going to be a lot happier if you just learn how to take a left once in a while. Right? God calls us to enjoy life, but that can't be done when you're out of sync with God's purposes. The boundaries of God's sovereign plans are like a brick wall, and running up against a brick wall is hard on the face. It doesn't make for a happy life. So much more enjoyable if you just turn where the brick wall turns and learn to see all those twists and turns as coming from the hand of God. And that's the key. Verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other so that man cannot discover anything that will happen after him. I think the most childish doctrine there is the idea that pleasant things come from God, hard things come from the devil. I call that two-second theology. People who never really spend more than 2 seconds thinking their doctrine through think this way. Happy things come from God or Santa Claus or whatever you want to call them. And hard things, they come from some other source or no source or whatever. And it has to be true, too, because I've thought about it for 2 seconds, and I can't think of any reason why God would send hard things. All too often, people want to believe God is in control when pleasant things happen, but not in control when hard things happen. But if you were willing to think about it for more than 2 seconds, then you'll see, what are the implications to that doctrine? It's nonsense. You end up with a situation where God is in control of nothing. Right? Because people like that, they say, well, if human decision making is involved, God's not in control. He's out of it. Right? Because He cannot deal with free will. There's no way He can stay in control while free will is in operation without violating. So God's out of it. If people are there, God's out of it. And if hardship or difficulty are involved, God's out of it. What does that leave? What happens in your life that doesn't involve human decision making or hardship? I mean, you created a world where God is involved in nothing. Which means almost everything that ever happens to you is meaningless. Right? It's not from God, it's meaningless. Is that biblical? When you read the Psalms, is that what you see? Do you see God is uninvolved with the hardships of life and He's no longer in control whenever evil people are acting? When the psalmists cry out to God in those times, some evil person is hurting them, they cry out to God, God help me. Does God say, sorry, not my department? It's out of my hands. I can't, you know, it's free will. No. There's never a time when I need God to be in control more than when hardship and evil people are in operation, right? And that's why Scripture reminds us so many times that both the happy days and the hard days are from His hand. We see it right here in this verse. We see it in Job 2:10, where Job's wife didn't understand that. And she's telling Job, curse God and die. And he says, you're speaking like a fool. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. He's saying, we need to receive trouble from His hand. You say, wait a second, didn't Job's trouble come from the devil? Didn't it come from evil people who came and stole all his stuff? Yes, but it also came from God. Job 42:11. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought upon him. God's still in control. 1 Samuel 2:6. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. Isaiah 45:7. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and I create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. Amos 3:6. When disaster comes on a city, has not the Lord caused it? Genesis 50:20. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Acts 4:28. People who murdered Jesus says they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Lamentations 3:38. Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come? It's like God is saying, how many times do I have to tell you? It's all from my hand. Is God the author of evil? No. Absolutely no. No, no, not in any way, not in any sense. But somehow, hardships still come from His hand. And we must believe that because Scripture says it. If you know me very well, you know our family, you know that my family has received a double portion of the Genesis 3 curse when it comes to vehicles. It's just the way it is for us. It's no surprise at all for us that we go on a vacation and we lose both an engine and a transmission in the same vehicle on the same vacation. It's just the way things go for us. Last Sunday is an example. Last Sunday, Tracy's heater in her car stopped working. Mechanic said, just drop it off on your way to church. And so I bundled up. I drove it and dropped it off at the mechanic on the way to church. Meanwhile, Chris and Faith's vehicle, they had to tow theirs into the same guy the same day. In fact, they didn't have any vehicles working. We had that day, just between our two households, we had six vehicles down last Sunday. Anyway, I'm dropping off the vehicle. I'm dropping off Tracy's vehicle. I'm explaining to the guy, you know, what I tried to do and all that. And all of a sudden, my phone rings. Hold on, I got to take this. It's my son. I pick it up. It's Josiah. He said, Dad, I was driving to church. I was on I-25. I heard this horrible grinding sound in my car, and then this huge bang. And I looked in my rearview mirror, and there's bolts and pieces of metal bouncing all over the road. And I coasted it to a stop. There's smoke coming out of my car, and so I need a ride. So we sent a driver. We all got all these drivers. We sent Nicky, go get him. And he come. In fact, it was funny. Just before prayer group, he got online and just posted that thing on Craigslist. He said, broken down 89 Toyota Tercel for sale. Engine blew up. It's sitting on I-25 at Highway 7. $300. Bring a tow truck. By the end of second service, it was gone. He sold it. And on Tuesday, he bought a new truck. Now, this truck, it's an amazing thing. Josiah wanted to pick up for a long time. He had saved up some money, and so he was able to get this really cool lifted 4x4 extended cab pickup with a locking toolbox. Exactly what he wanted. Fun day for Josiah on Tuesday. Not so fun on Sunday. Right? And that's just how it is in the Ferguson home. Most days we're either buying a vehicle or calling a tow truck. That's just the way reality is for us around our house. You get a great deal on a new car, that's fun. That's a happy day. Your vehicle explodes on the way to church, hard day. You get a new minivan with all these cool features and, you know, everything works and it's just a nice new car. Fun day. Stranded in 100-degree heat on a vacation where it breaks down over 100 miles from the nearest garage, hard day. And see, what the preacher wants us to understand is both come from God's hand. The happy days and the hard days, they all come from His hand. And if you don't understand that, you can forget about ever enjoying life because there's a lot of hard days, aren't there? And if they're not from God, they're just random, meaningless, purposeless, bad luck that have no value for you, then life is just miserable. And what you'll do is you'll either try to just distract yourself from the hard days and not even deal with reality and just go into the world of shallow pleasures, or you're going to try and gain control of life so that you don't have any more hard days, which is both of those approaches lead to absolutely futile life. See, when your life is spinning out of control, just remember, it's only spinning out of your control, which is no problem. Hey, use wisdom. Take care of what God has called you to take care of, and enjoy not being God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a generous God, and you have made great and precious promises to us, and that we can trust you with the 99% of things that we are totally outside of our control. Lord, teach us to live that way, and let us trust you, and keep us awake. Lord, don't let us be lulled to sleep by the trivia of this world. We pray this in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to the last quarter of the sermon titled Smelling Salts on Ecclesiastes 6:10 through 7:14. And I just have one question for you this time. Are you ever guilty of two-second theology? What are some crooked things that you just really have trouble seeing them as coming from the hand of God? Spend some time with prayer, wrestling with God, until you can embrace the fact that everything comes from His hand, and He only does good things. Hope you can make it back tomorrow for the Q&A for this message.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to hear the full-length version of today's message, you can find that on treasuringgod.com, or just get our free Food for Your Soul sermon app. And if you find this podcast helpful, you can help other people find it by sharing a link on social media, giving us a rating or review on iTunes, or, best of all, tell a friend about us. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, for Christ is seated at the right hand of God.